Live once again. Stefan Maia with you. AddedSouls.com is the website. And this is the podcast. Find ourselves 10 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time. Glad you could be with us. Honored that you are with us. We're going to allow this technology to go ahead and send off some notifications there for all our friends to join in if they so choose to do so. By all means, please leave a comment, like, share, subscribe to the channel, and hit that little bell thing, whatever dingy, and that'll keep you current with our podcast streams. Yeah. What date are we? February 16th. February 16th, 2021. Here we are. Yeah. On the East Coast, New Brunswick, Canada. Currently going through a winter storm. A whole bunch of sleet and ice and snow. And it's a mess. It's going to be a mess for a few days, so we're just bunkered in as we move forward there. Bunkered in. I, of course, am a minister for the Riverview Church that belongs to Jesus in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. If you want to know how to get involved, and I urge you to get involved if you are a faithful member of our master's church, check out addedsouls.com. Go under the Maritime Mission tab and read the information. It's all there for you. And then contact us and get involved. Untapped land. We've got big things that we want to do and hope and pray for over here on the East Coast. So we're going to go in the Bible as we do in these podcast sessions. And this time around, we find ourselves in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I hope you'll stick around. And I hope you can share this on all social media platforms. And be with us together, hand in hand, as we knock these digital doors. It is getting more difficult as those who have created and operate and administer these social media platforms are hostile towards Christian conservative content. They can't stand us. They hate us. And so they have been practicing the purge of all this kind of content. And I, of course, have been a recipient of their designated persecution towards this sort of material. Nonetheless, many of you who interact with this ministry, who know me perhaps personally, or who may just come in as a visitor, a guest, if you have access to all social media platforms, you can go ahead and try to share it. I encourage you to do so. In Luke chapter 5, our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, he is about his ministry, and his fame is growing. His surroundings are aware of this man named Jesus. He's been performing supernatural actions, things that are miraculous. Now, in our day and age, we've dumbed down so greatly the descriptive accuracy of a supernatural occurrence or a miracle that we, a great many times, do not respect or honor the depth and power of a true, genuine, authentic supernatural occurrence, a miracle. I mean, nowadays we take what is natural that has come from a supernatural origin to operate in a natural environment. We take that and we apply a supernatural description to what is not supernatural. It is natural. For instance, let me give you an illustration. The birth of a child is the most beautiful, encouraging blessing one could ever experience. It has been the joy in our lives as husband and wife, and it is certainly to be praiseworthy to God for this natural repetition in this earth, this existence. It came from a supernatural and divine source from the very beginning, the great I Am, creating in his intelligence what we see here so naturally walking about. But we will take childbirth and say, well, that's a miracle. Well, it isn't. I understand why we would want to say that, because it's so beautiful, it's so powerful. But it's not the descriptive accuracy of first century occurrence when we speak of supernatural things. Childbirth is natural. The pizza got here on time. We ordered pizza, got here on time. That's a miracle. No, it isn't. And sadly, a great field of false teachers, erroneous ideology masquerading as Christianity will try to convince us of a lie, a myth, a fiction that supernatural, miraculous occurrence takes place when it does not. An individual had his heart stop on the operating table for a designated time, short designated time, and then came back. Was his heart once again began to beat after the physicians were able to resuscitate his heart? That's not a miracle. We are thankful that this individual whose heart had stopped beating through the hands of physicians and through the technology that was available in these hospitals were able to once again make the heart start to beat. This is a natural function of the body. Does God's providence play a part? Perhaps. Perhaps God's providence made sure that this individual was in a certain hospital with certain doctors that have certain technology at their hands and experience and time through which the natural function of this body was operating, and then the heart began to beat again and therefore move forward. See, the spirit of the man or the woman's mind, the soul, did not leave to meet the maker. It remained in the natural function of the body until complete shutdown and death takes place. But you see, today with false teachers, they will take such an occurrence or a bad car crash, and the individual did not have a scratch. He was able to walk away from such a bad car crash, a car crash that one would look at and be like, how can anyone have ever survived? Well, through the natural process of things, through perhaps God's providence, through science that can explain the physics and this and that and the other, we experience amazing things. We experience things that would have us doubt or have us question, but when we look further and we investigate, they are not supernatural. They are not miraculous. And because we so flippantly use those words in today's culture, in this, in a great many platforms, when we read of what truly is a miracle and something supernatural from our Lord and Master Jesus Christ or His apostles, we tend to have a skewed or deviated interpretation to what is taking place. Jesus was performing supernatural things, miraculous things, in the reason for, of course, confirming his power, his deistic presence walking on this earth. Therefore, that is part and parcel of the ministry. Well, today we don't have the lame being made whole. Okay? We don't have individuals who can walk on water, who can... Anyways, that would be for another session. And I have created many sermons and articles and study sessions and podcast sessions regarding the age of the miraculous and how God operated within that confined time that he designed for a purpose to confirm the word. So Jesus here, his fame is growing. Individuals are aware of his presence and they are questioning what is taking place. They can see what is happening. And come to chapter 5 of Luke, this, of course, has been growing being spoken about. Verse 1, let's just get into it and we'll talk about as we move along. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around Jesus and listening to, pay attention, the word of God, individuals, this crowd was pressing around Jesus Christ. And the reason they were doing that was to listen to the word of God. Now, they are aware of a great many things that Jesus has done thus far. But they are interested in listening, in receiving information that is coming out of his mouth that formulate words, words that are spirit, that give us instruction and wisdom. So this crowd is around him listening to the word of God. And he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And of course, I love how the inspired word gives us geographical location, historical timelines. It's not a book of geography. It's not a book of history. It's not a book of science. But all of that is in there, part and parcel, to the grand scheme of redemption to which the book is about. Jesus, love, forgiveness, truth, reality. So these individuals want to hear the word of God. And he, Jesus, saw at this time, while this is taking place, standing by the lake of Gennesaret, he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. And if you'd like to have a visual construction in your mind of what these boats looked like and how the culture therein was involved, I would urge you to go check out the World Video Bible School channel or website. It is a sound website that produces sound, rightly handled gospel content. And in there is a new series called, I believe, Bible Land Museum or something along those lines. It takes you through an archaeological path and journey and mission, looking at all these artifacts of the first century and also of the ancient world of times past in the patriarchal age and the Mosaic age. And all, it's just a wonderful bulk of informative content for Christians and all who are interested in archaeology and science and all that wonderful stuff. But in there, of course, there are replicas of an approximate of what these boats would look like. So if you'd like to have that visual, by all means, go check that out. So here's Jesus, and he sees two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of the boat and were washing their nets. The fishermen, whose career was to fish in order to, you know, live, pay the bills, if you wish, eat food, these fishermen were no longer within the location where fish was to be gathered, but rather they were taking care, washing the nets. The nets is the tool that was utilized by the fishermen in these boats in order to capture fish. Why capture fish? Well, it's our livelihood. It's our bread and butter. It's what we do. It's a form of activity that these individuals would participate in to survive. It's their life. They were fishermen, and fishermen could be, you know, individuals of a stronger skin, if I could put it that way. They probably had a very tough and real way of seeing life and operating with their physical vessels. So Jesus sees two boats. He sees the fishermen are not in the boat, in the location to which they are to capture the fish, but they are cleaning the tool that is operated within the boat to capture the fish. And Jesus got into one of the boats. So he's observing his entourage, his surrounding, and he sees what's taking place. And of course, according to his ministry, he's going to want to teach them a thing that is true and real. A earthly participation to create a spiritual illustration, okay? So he, Jesus, got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Now that's purposed. He understood very well what he was doing. He had been observing what was taking place. And he asked, Jesus asks Simon to put out a little way from the land. So here's Jesus in the boat, the designated location where work is to be done. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Jesus sees the boat. He does not see the fishermen in the boat. They are outside the boat. But they are cleaning or taking care of the tool that is to be brought into the boat and set off into the sea for capturing their bread and butter, fish. Stick with me. It's going to make a whole lot of sense. It's going to be pretty cool, okay? So Jesus sees this. He embarks one of the vessels here, one of the vessels utilized to go out into the water, and it is Simon's. And so he asks Simon, he says, well, it's more of an authoritative request, right? He asks him to put out a little way from the land. Let us enter this boat with the nets, the boat, the fishermen, the Christ. Let's set out into the water there. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. Now, when Jesus had finished speaking, he says to Simon, which we are in his boat, right? We're in the boat that Simon operates. It's his boat. And he says to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And so Simon's with him thus far. He's in the boat. Christ is in the boat. They've got the nets. They've set out a little ways out in the water. Jesus is teaching the people. Well, what is he teaching? Well, verse 1, the word of God. So the word of God highlighted, teaching the people highlighted. Go on, Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, Simon, he's a fisherman. He's been doing this. He is well-versed in his trade. He knows what he's doing and how to do it, and he understands what a good day is and a bad day is, and he knows when the bread and butter has been captured or when there's a day where we aren't eating today. We've not captured fish. I mean, the same principle to a fisherman's lifestyle in life is seen today even among ourselves. I mean, I live in East Coast Canada, the Mariners side of the world. I mean, our produce is the fish industry, you know. I understand fishermen. I've seen them. I've been around them. Had friends. So Jesus says, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon, of course, naturally answers and says, well, Master, these individuals are aware of the fame of Christ. They must, at this point, having had recorded miraculous moments prior to this moment here, and having had the word of mouth and the fame of the Christ and the authority of the things he was teaching and the word of God and all this. So, you know, Simon says, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. You want us to do something that we've already tried and done and it didn't work. It's just there's no fish. I've heard of you. You're a teacher, master. We've heard you now just teach the people about the word of God. I mean, there's respect there, certainly. But you're a teacher. I'm a fisherman. I fish. We've been out all night fishing and we haven't caught anything. However, I will do as you say and let down the nets in this deeper water. So he obeys Jesus in his boat, in this boat, utilizing the tool that is necessary to capture the fish, the nets. You got Jesus, you got Simon, you got the boat, you got the net. And you got some doubt from Simon, but you have certainty from Jesus. And they are in the proper designed location that works to bring fish. So when they had done this, when they had gone to deeper water and set their nets in deeper water, they enclosed a great quantity of fish. Great quantity of fish. And their nets began to break. And that's something. Jesus instructs Simon of an accurate location. And through the obedience of Simon, though with doubt, be like, hey man, we've done this. I mean, we didn't catch anything all last night and we've been working hard and everything. We're tired. We want to go home. We're cleaning our nets. We were going home. But okay. They were going home empty-handed, but now everything has changed. I don't know if you watch our fishermen. They have many TV shows. You know, there's a specific TV show. I won't name the name of it, but when they catch fish, it's one of the most joyful moments ever. Why? Because, well, we're going to be able to put food on the table today. This is what we do. We're fishermen. Well, here, after obeying what Jesus had instructed, they had a great quantity of fish. And so much so that their nets began to break. And they came and filled both the boats. Fill them. So much so that they began to sink. That's a great amount for these people in this century who have made a life for themselves as fishermen. And of course, when Simon Peter, when it soaked in to his mind what was taking place and how it was taking place, he fell down to the feet of Jesus, saying to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." The reaction of Simon Peter was that of an immediate humble position. He was deeply challenged, so much so that he identified how pure, how divine Jesus was and is, faced with this power from God his natural reaction from the kind of heart Simon had was to immediately bow down and reveal his sinful life. I wonder how many of us in such a context and situation would do the same. Would we do the same? When in the presence of Christ and his power and the authority of his words, and how it produces a great amount of good, the man or woman with a good heart would naturally feel the same as Simon. Like, I don't, oh Lord, I don't deserve to be near you. I live a sinful life. I do sinful things. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful person. One would be tempted to say the same thing. I mean, it's understandable. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You shouldn't be with me. You are obviously pure and righteous and right and good, and I'm not. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Why are you? Don't. You've done a thing here. You've allowed a blessing of such a measurement that I, Lord, Master, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. And the reason is, the scripture says in verse 9, amazement had seized him. It had taken hold of him. He still had free will, but his body and his mind had been captured by this amazement, by this moment forevermore recorded in time for us to learn and read and study and apply and believe. And this man, Simon Peter, he's captured and seized by amazement. Not only him, but everyone with him experiencing this very time here in history. And it was so much so because of the catch of fish which they had taken. It was above and beyond. Above and beyond. They would have never thought such a catch. The boats are filled and sinking. We need help. And so also, it says in verse 10, were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, you have no need to fear. You have no need to fear. From now on, from this day forward, what you have seen here with an earthly experience, we will apply the principle in our spiritual lives. Walking this earth, Simon, from now on, you'll be catching men. So you've seen how we've caught the fish. Jesus, the boat, the net, the fisherman, deep water. Jesus, the boat, the net, the fisherman, deep water. Christians, the church, the Bible, and this world and its ocean. And it's worth nothing without the boat, without Jesus. Jesus, the church, Christians, the Bible, the mission. I know you see that. It's pretty cool, isn't it? I haven't invented anything. It's right there. The boat. Let's look at this. And you can, I mean, there's probably a more accurate way to list this off, but as I read this, the same repetitive points come out. You have Jesus, you have the boat. Okay. You have the net. Right? Yeah, you have fishermen and you have deep water. Well, let's apply what's taking place here in this earthly experience that is recorded to how we can spiritually illustrate, apply, and practice for us here this day. Jesus, the boat, the net, the fishermen, deep water. Jesus, his church, his words, his disciples, Christians, and the mission. What's the mission? We need to go get some fish. How do we get them? The net, the word of God. Where do they go? The church. Why? Because that's the designed location where the saved are gathered. All faithful in the church Jesus built, this boat, have Jesus and his words. That's the mission. That's the purpose. That's why we evangelize. That's what we do. We bring people to Jesus so that they can obey the gospel and be added to the church Jesus built. Well, we've tried that already. It's not working. We'll try it again, this time with Jesus and the Bible, and go in deeper water. In our day and age here, in the Western world, sharing John 3:16 is a good thing. John 3:16 is an inspired word. It's scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's true. That's real. But friends, that's just a little small part of the net. And most folks are going to say amen or not pay attention to it. But when you start speaking the words in the scriptures about repentance, oh, now there's controversy, right? Now there's confrontation. Now there's something that breaches the so ever dominant politically correct narrative that we must abide by. Now there's movement. Now the ground is shaking. Now individuals have begun to persecute you. But you know what else happens? Others have begun to listen to the word of God. Some ask, I never got any problem. I never receive any problem. I share Bible verses. Well, of course. John 3:16 is not going to cause the offense that perhaps Acts 2:38 would, or other verses in the Bible that say we must repent from adultery, fornication, homosexuality, murder, abortion, violence, gossip, thievery, stealing, thieving. What about those things? What about the ones that the verses in the Bible that speak to religious people, believers, who are lost? And they don't think they're lost. They think they're saved, but they aren't. They're lost. What about that one? What about those verses? What about exposing evil, wicked things? What about pointing out false teachers by name who are public about their falsehood? Oh, you got to shake the ground if you want growth. Where's that found? In deeper water. In deeper water. Some Christians, I just do this, that, and the other. Nothing works. That's because you've not stepped out of the bubble. We have to make sure that all ingredients are operational and active in order to produce fruit. Bring people to Jesus. There's a lot to be learned in this small section of Scripture. And there's a lot more that could be taught and preached from it. And we'd be wise to pay attention to the structure and pattern of these things. Shallow ground may feel or give a sense of security. Many Christians never want to take a chance in life. They like to feel secure and safe in a bubble. That never brings the bounty of fish that we see Jesus bringing, because it's not in deep water. It doesn't have faith to go in deep water. So it remains shallow, and it never produces that amount of fish. There are many Christians on social media, both in the digital realm and outside here in the physical realm, who will never produce anything. Never. Because they live a cowardly life. Now, we have to remain level-headed here and balanced, because the pendulum could be swung completely the other way, where a Christian now is testing God and he is above and beyond the realm of safety in Christ. He's pushing boundaries that were never meant to be pushed. I'm not talking that you can swing the pendulum both ways, but the way I'm speaking of is completely cowardice. There are Christians on social media saying, well, I've never received any persecution, or these big tech giants have never came after me to disable this or to censor that. Well, it's because you're a coward in shallow water. Naturally, if the only thing you're sharing is John 3:16, you're not getting in trouble yet. But I assure you, one day you will. Yet. And what are you doing in the community? Are you reaching individuals with the broadcast proclaiming the word of God? Well, no, then, that's why. You're not doing anything. You've buried your talent. You've stuck your head in the sand. Well, I've tried it. No, you haven't. Let's go back. Let's go deeper now. There's the church, there's Jesus, there's the church, there's the Bible. We have faithful Christians. Let's go out there in the world. Let's proclaim the good news of Christ to all nations. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever does not believe shall never be baptized. An unbeliever don't trust in Jesus enough to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Whoever does not believe shall be damned naturally. Let's go tell the world about that. You start doing that, and you'll see the fruit, the fish. It comes at a cost, though. Persecution. Good stuff. Isn't it? I would think so. I hope this never gets boring to us, reading the Bible and talking about the Bible and how it applies to us this day and age. I hope we never do that. Hope we never do that. Stefan Maillet with you. AddedSouls.com is the website you should check out. Share this information far and wide if you think it has spiritual value. Reach out to me if you have any concerns or questions, if you'd like to study. I'm not in it to argue with someone who thinks he knows it all. Stay away from me. If you've already set your heart in your ways and dug your heels in the sand, go away. But if you're an individual who listens to this and says, you know, that this makes a lot of sense to me, and I'd like to know a lot more, then that's what we're here for. Let us teach you how to get into the boat with Jesus and the Word of God and go out there and get other people to come into the boat where Jesus is and with the Bible. And that's the purpose of life. One says, I don't know what the purpose of life is. Well, to be pleasing to God. How? Become a Christian, evangelize, don't forsake the assembly, practice benevolence, love people, love your brethren, expose evil, do what's right. No, that can't be the purpose. Well, it is. What do you think it is? See how much stuff we can accumulate? Stuff that is going to rust. Well, you know. All right. Stay focused, stay positive, and we shall certainly meet again here next time, Lord willing, and God bless.